Brian Hayes and Gordon Miller. Jamie Noodles McLennan will join us here in just a few moments. We'll catch up with Noodles and get his take on a lot of different stories throughout the weekend. We're just talking about the draft in the last segment, Gordon. Logan Mailloux and the Habs selecting him at 31, which really was the story of the draft.
Right.
Ultimately, it immediately became the story of the draft, the story of the weekend. The Habs had a prepared statement. They knew what the reaction was going to be. I don't even think it was a polarizing pick. It was a unanimously disliked pick based on what I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone who has defended it in public. I can't think of anything I've seen over the weekend where someone said, yeah, no problem with that, or yeah, I think they did the right thing. If they did, I haven't seen it.
No, it's again, I can't reason with Montreal making the pick. Any team making the pick, whoever it is, if he was going to get picked, whether it's the first round, third round, fifth round, seventh round, you know, it's the team is going to have to explain it. But as I said on the previous side of the break, I think there are two timelines. I cannot reason with the pick, but now that the pick is in, now let's see what this kid and what the Habs decide to do with it. You know, they talked a big game about their plans of rehabilitating the player, you know, speaking to the causes at play, how it's going to play out from here. Let's see what they've got in store, because he's a household name, and he hasn't played a game in the NHL, and he likely won't for years.
Right, and that's the point, is that at the end of the day, from my view, is that Montreal saw a 6'3", right-handed shooting defenseman, which they don't fall out of trees. You can't just go to Canadian Tire and grab one, and said this that outweighs the other part of it. That outweighs the other aspect.
And no, of course. At the
end of the day, they made a hockey decision.
Yeah, they like the player.
When they should not. When the other factors, I think it's, as you said, unanimously agreed, other factors should have weighed in more. And again, I want to be clear. I think he deserves a shot at redemption, and I think he's been on that road. I think Montreal set it back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not sure about that, because we'll see how it all plays out. Again, that's what I was trying to get to in the previous segment, Cord, was did he think he was still going to be drafted? He just didn't think and didn't want it to be the first round, because the first round trumps everything else. It's the big, you know, the lights of the first round, the TV, the production, everything that comes with it. No one's paying attention in rounds 2 through 7.
But his statement was, please don't select me in the NHL draft.
I understand that. Wondering if he would have a different reaction, or if he would feel differently if it was later in the draft. Obviously, we don't know, and it doesn't matter now, because he still went in the first round.
Yeah.
Because even though he said that, clearly the league was still willing to let teams draft him.
So Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, said there's no mechanism by which a player can withdraw himself from the draft. However, there is a mechanism where the league can say a player's not eligible, and they could have done that and said he can apply for reinstatement in a year.
Right.
And if he, you know, if he demonstrates growth and you know, change and everything else, then he can apply for reinstatement, which would have been better for everyone. And primarily, Brian, I think, and not to drive this home too often, but for the victim. For the victim.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, sadly, she will be a victim the rest of her life based on what happened. I mean, it's always going to follow her around, which he I think, stated appropriately in his statement afterwards and when he met with the media. I do think the league has to take a big chunk of the criticism here. I think that's on Bettman and company to let all the owners know, let it filter down to the GMs. We're not taking them. Don't take them. It's that simple. You know, figure it out next year. And the Habs clearly either didn't get the memo, or there likely wasn't a memo, and he went in the first round. But anyway, putting that aside, joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. I think he's on the line. I don't know if he's over TV, on the phone. I don't know what's going on. Here is our buddy Jamie Noodles McLennan. Where are you right now? Are you in the office? I can't see anything. My TV's not working.
You don't want to see what I got going on, so I'm just over the tie line.
Okay.
But I'm just going to be fonted nicely, because I don't think I've combed my hair in about 4 days, so
good
I'm
man.
Not going to be
nice.
On TV.
Nice.
I'm on holidays, guys.
You should be. I know we're bothering you.
It's all good. It's great to chat with both of you. I mean, Gordon chatted with you the other day, and Hayes, you and I talk all the time. It got my juices going a little bit, chatting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little nervous kind of being on the show.
No. It's all good. You know that.
Well, I kind of feel like, you know, like the captain's hosting. So I kind of feel like, you know, I got to be measured up against you and
And oh,
and oh, and you know, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy for someone like me to measure up to that.
All you have to do is, if you want to be like me, kind of be somewhere in the middle. Okay. And people think I hate the Leafs, but I don't. And then if you want to be like oh, then just, you know, kind of check in and out of a segment. And
yeah, exactly.
The good news is, Jamie, that people think I hate every team.
So that's true.
It's perfect. No matter what game you do, people think, like, when I do games for NBC, you know, people bombard them. He hates Chicago. He hates New York. He hates Pittsburgh. No, I'm yeah. I actually no.
Yeah, no. I think Ray's comments the best, where he's like, I don't cheer for anybody. I just call the game and try and see it, you know, just try and be, I guess, unbiased. Some nights your emotion gets the best of you. I mean, you and I will talk about a play where it's like a bad play or a great play, and we get carried away a little bit, but it's not because we love the team or hate the team. It's more about, you know, I will say I've got a little bit of a soft side for people that I have relationships with, but I don't have a favorite team, but I certainly have some real, you know, some people I like throughout the league that I want to see have success.
Well, that's a good segue into your boy, Zach Hyman, who we've had many conversations about Hyman.
The Olympian. I wanted to ask you, Hayes, if he signs in Edmonton, are you still signing off that he's playing on the Olympic team this year?
I don't think I ever made the case he would be on the Olympic
team. What are you talking about?
When did I ever say that?
You're right. It was the panel, which I almost drove off the road when
never
I heard that.
Me.
It was never you. You're right. It wasn't you. What it was O, who said 100% on the piano, on the panel. Not just like a, you know, 65. It was 100%,
okay.
You know. And then, yeah, you and I talked about RNH and Hyman.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing together on that left side.
Right. They both got basically the same contract in the end.
Yeah,
I mean, the evaluation
much.
Maybe a dollar here or there, but for the most part, you know, similar players. I think they're both going to play on the left side. I got to think Hyman plays with McDavid. Nugent Hopkins plays with Draisaitl. But listen, good for him. Zach Hyman grinds. He does all the grunt work. He's a blue collar player, quote unquote, and he's making a lot of money. I think it's a deal that will be worth it for Edmonton on the short term. I'd be concerned long term, and I think they have to be, but. This is about two guys for me. It's about McDavid and it's about the owner. Like Ken Holland's like, I got to get cooking here. We got to get into the playoffs, which they have done the last couple of years, but actually win a round or two, similar to what the Leafs are dealing with. And McDavid wants to be happy. And McDavid probably wants a guy like Hyman. So I think they've overpaid here. It benefits Hyman greatly. But I think he'll fit well in Edmonton.
Yeah, I do too, but you're right. Term and Gord, you've talked about term all the time. And I know Ken Holland has openly, I've watched both of his pressers, and he's saying, I'm using term as a weapon now to get the AAV down because of the flat cap. So he's openly admitting, like, and it wouldn't surprise me if behind the scenes he's had to go to ownership and say, hey, you're going to have to chew on a few of RNH's years, you're going to have to chew on a few of Hyman's years, but let's kick the can down the road while these guys are healthy and can play with 97 and 29. I get it. You know, my other thought process is, you know, all you hear, and I've said this all along, so I believe I'm consistent, is like, you know, Hyman's a great person. He's a really good player, but he's being, in essence, being rewarded a lot for work ethic. To me, that says a lot about where some players are in the league, where you're like, yeah, the guy works hard. Well, everyone should work hard. It's the National Hockey League, but you don't see that. So, you know, I'm happy for him because, as you guys know, he's a friend of the show. He's a great family. You know, all of that type of stuff. I'm just – now what's curious, and I'll shift it back to Toronto, is what does Kyle do? Like, that left side is wide open.
Yeah, right. It's wide open. At this point, you have Mikheyev. I think Kerfoot might play the wing.
Right.
But then you've got your third-line center wide open as well.
But do you see Kerfoot, like, consistently as your second-line left winger? I don't.
I don't think it's ideal, but I think it might happen, Noodles. You know, who's out there that they're going to chase that's going to make an impact up the left side?
Well, what do you guys think? I mean, Landeskog would be a wish list. He's too rich. It's too much
too
fun.
Rich.
Right.
Too rich.
So then you're looking at Jaden Schwartz. My understanding is Jaden Schwartz is going to get more than Hyman. So that's too rich then too, is it?
And it sounds like he's going to Seattle. I mean, that's out there anyway, that he may be working on that move already.
And
so
Brandon Saad, you know, guys like that. Like, you know, I keep looking, and it's getting thinner and thinner unless you're looking at a hockey deal, like a flat-out, you know, trade.
Or, go ahead, Gord. Or the discount bin.
Right.
You tried Galchenyuk last year in the discount bin. You picked him up. You know, take a look at an Andrew Cogliano.
Yeah.
You know, a Toronto kid and you know, a similar kind of hardworking, you know, not the same physicality of, you know, Hyman, you know,
right.
Diggs. You know, I mean, are you going to have to, you're going to have to likely, don't you think, Jamie, you're going to have to probably take a chance on someone and hope it turns out.
Well, it depends on how you distribute the wealth. Like, I actually haven't seen what their cap is going to look like right now, and who's coming back and who's, like, how much money they actually have to play with. But I just don't think you can go, here's $7 million to somebody. Like, now all of a sudden you're starting to, you know, you've got the four guys that are making a ton, so you might have to find some value somewhere, whether it's, you know, finding a younger player in a trade or finding, you know, like you said, a discount bin player, or maybe it's the hometown discount again. You get somebody who's like, yeah, I'd like to play there. Now, I don't know if it's a Joe Thornton type, but that now you start going into, well, it's a father figure situation. I think the Leafs have to get away from that.
Yeah, they do.
You need better. You just need better players.
You got to get better players than that. That's the issue. Yeah. Like Jumbo, by the, we're going back to 82 games, full travel. You know, like by the end of the road for Jumbo, it was like, man, he's, I don't know if he should be in the lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by the playoffs, it really fell off. And that's natural. Like, that's just father now, time calling your name, man. That's the way it goes.
Well, here's – I just was reading, just as you guys were talking, did I see that Nick Ritchie didn't get qualified by Boston?
It looks like he didn't.
Now, that's – again, I think Nick sometimes – like, he's a heavy player. I think sometimes – he doesn't think the game as well as you'd like him to. He takes some poor penalties and stuff, but he's something that the Leafs don't have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a real irritable player. I know Simmons tries to play that role, but like Richie is all of what, 6'2", 210 type of thing?
He's a big boy. Yeah.
And, you know, big head on him, runs people around, can play on the power play, goes to the net well. Like, honestly, I was seeing that just as we were, as you were bringing me in, I'm like, it might look pretty good in Toronto, to be honest. Now, I don't know what his price tag would be.
That's the question, right? Like, now, there are a lot of teams in this league dealing with cap problems. You know, the Leafs are not alone. So what ends up happening is there'll be a bunch of guys that go off on the cheap or at the high level, right? Like, this is the way it always goes. The guys at the highest level, they'll get their money, they'll get their deals. Yep. The guys who know they're taking $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, they'll get their deals quickly. And there will be that middle class that will have to wait a week or two or whatever, and they're going to be haggling over 3.2 or 3.5. You know what I mean? It's like they're fighting over $100,000 here or there, and that's where there's just not that much money in the league, you know? So the Leafs have got to get their hands on someone of substance. Like, we're talking the replacement of the first-line left winger. And I get who the first-line center is and the first-line right winger. They're the more prominent players, the more dominant players, the more talented players. But Hyman was consistent every single night. You knew what you were getting for years.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mikheyev has the skill set to move up the lineup. I think he's a third-line guy, you know. Maybe even on the right team, he's on the fourth line.
Well, but you can't be asking guys to play. Like, that's not an ideal situation for 82 games. Like, you know, guys to play above what they're capable of.
Right.
Like there's a difference between a young guy growing into a spot and a guy who really is a third liner, and you're asking him to play first line minutes because you either can't afford it or you don't have anybody else. That's where, when push comes to shove, you get exposed. And I think Kyle's well aware of that. But it'll be just interesting to see what they do. If you believe that Kerfoot's going to get pushed to the left side, well, then they've got a lot of work to do at the bottom of the roster still, if you ask me.
So, Jamie, let me ask you this. And Brian, we talked about this last week. You agreed, Brian, the number one priority for Toronto is in goal.
Mm-hmm.
So before you can go signing a new left winger, before you can address the issue of Bogosian leaving, don't they have to find a goalie first? And who in your mind would fit the bill for them?
I like Peter Mrazek. I just think he's in a middle-aged, you know, type of wheelhouse where he, but the problem is it might cost you something with a four in it. I just don't think that you can afford that. Jaro Halak is a really nice he's now more a traditional backup, having backed up. But the thing is, with Rask's injuries and personal stuff that he had going on the last couple of years, Halak's given good minutes. So, you know, I look at guys like that, and it speaks more to, like, I said to Steph this morning, like, I don't see Jack Campbell playing 55 games.
No, me neither.
So if you're looking at somebody, you have to look at the amount of games you believe that Campbell's going to play, and then the amount. So let's say it's a 45, 35, 37. That's not backup minutes. That's tandem minutes. So, you know, what would it cost to get Marc-Andre Fleury? Here's a Vezina winner who makes $7 million a year. Like, it would cost an asset to get Vegas to chew on some of that money. Or Robin Leonard, let's take your pick. If Vegas, because they signed Martinez, they're going to be over. They're going to be looking to probably flush one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Like, in a perfect world, maybe it is Fleury.
Well, listen, I think if you're going to overpay for any of these positions, it has to be the goalie.
Like, right.
I everything else to me during the regular season is largely irrelevant if you don't have the right pairing, because Jack Campbell, to me, I'm not comfortable penciling him in for 55 starts, 60 starts, based on his history, right, based on what we've seen throughout his career. I think that would be ideal. That'd be great. Just do exactly what you did last year, extrapolate that over 55, boom, the Leafs are a playoff team, it's all good, you got your starter opening night.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Leafs feel like they can do that. I don't personally believe they should do that. I think you have to prepare for more of a tandem and prepare for a guy that may have to run off 10 starts in a row, 12, 15 starts in a row, 14 of 15, whatever it is.
Right.
So if you're going to overpay anywhere, it's got to be the goaltender. So if it is Mrazek and he's going to cost you four, you might have to pay four. And then your third pairing defenseman, $750. You know, your third line center might be $1.50. Like, you got to have the goalie. You have to.
You do. And you have to have depth, too. We've seen it. And I know 82 games. Like, it's just, there is going to be some regression. I feel like Jack Campbell's somewhere in between his amazing season last year and maybe his numbers the last couple years heading into it. I think he's still a good goaltender. But, again, this market. I was laughing to myself when I mentioned Fleury, because all I could think of you, Hayes, is heading into the playoffs, if there's a stumble and Sheldon goes to Fleury,
right,
like, you're
my head will explode.
Your blood pressure is going to be – like, they're going into a Game 7 and the flower's starting. Like,
oh, man, I'll spontaneously combust and run down Yonge Street.
But that's – like, I think pedigree, I think demeanor – how well he works with his partners. I think him and – now, I know everyone's not ruling out Freddie. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, is that the – is it absolutely the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again?
This,
you know what
would
I mean?
Probably be how you would classify that. I mean, I think the Leafs are probably a little bit nervous about the options,
right,
and they want to keep Freddie close. You know, I'm not sure they want to bring Freddie back, but if it comes down to Freddie or James Reimer, they say Freddie, right? Like, we got to find a way to get Freddie back.
Is Carter, you know, otherwise you're into like Carter Hutton?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Brian Elliott. Yeah. But like, I personally, and I don't know, like, for me, McElhinney, I took off the list for Toronto. Been there, done that. Kyle went past him already.
Right.
I don't. Bernier and Reimer, I have them off the list for Toronto just based on recency, and I just don't know if Kyle would go back there. I don't think he – I'm not 100% – like, was there crossover between both of those goalies and Kyle being in the organization or not? Like, there might be some familiarity, but ultimately, I took those guys out of the loop. And then I was looking at Mrazek. I was looking at Halak. You know, there might be other goaltenders available through trade when we see the musical chairs here. I know Ben Bishop might be available just based on Ottinger and Hudobin. And, you know, do you take a flyer if somebody will bite some of that salary? That type of stuff. But if you're just asking me, like, who do you like? Well, obviously, I like Tuukka Rask, but he's going to be out till Christmas, and I think he'll just return to Boston. Grubauer is going to, you know, he's a starter, and he's going to get outpriced. Like, I would think there's a marketplace for Freddie Anderson. Like, if I'm Philly, I'm looking at him.
Sure.
If I'm Edmonton, I'm looking at him. Like, because regardless of what we think of Frederik Andersen, I think he's a really good goaltender. It's just he's had injury issues, he's had consistency issues, and this market, as we all know, is a fickle market. Like you're either in or you're out, and right yep. now he's on the outs. And I guess the other thing we could factor in is his relationship with 34. You know, that might be a phone call to Kyle too,
yeah.
right?
Yep. Well, they're spending the summer together again, or it seems that way anyway. They've done that for a number of years now, training together and prepping
for the upcoming
season. Riding
shotgun with Bieber.
But yeah, you know what?
That's right.
Jamie, let me ask you this. Like, honestly, like, yeah. you know, Mrazek is the one that everyone talks about because I think he had a .923 save percentage this year. And,
right.
But, you know, I remember Mrazek in Philly a couple of years ago where, you know, it didn't go well. So, I mean, how much better are those? If you can get Freddie Andersen at the same kind of money, how much better are they than Andersen? I mean, Anderson's been a starter.
He has been. And you're right. There might be.
To Brian's point, if you need someone to play 12 games in a row, Freddie Andersen could do that.
He can. And they are familiar with him. There are a lot of check marks there for Freddie. It's just, I think sometimes they might just look at a different dynamic for the sake of a different dynamic. The one who's really interesting for me, guys, is Allmark. Like, Hayes, right. you know, I've yep. always been a fan of Allmark. I yep. really liked him. Now, he's had injury issues. But for a while there in Buffalo, I thought he was on a trajectory to be a really good goaltender in this league. Now, I don't know what his marketplace would be. You know, Antti Raanta, Halak, David Rittich. Oh, that was the other guy. You've seen what Riddick's capable of. I don't think they go there. You know, so
that one stunk, too, in retrospect. Like, this weekend, the Leafs were essentially a bystander of the draft. They had three picks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave up a third for Rittich, and the reasoning at the time, we all understood.
It was all solid. It was solid reasoning.
It was solid yep. reasoning, and this is retrospective analysis. But, man, when you don't even win a playoff series, those are so difficult to chew on.
Well, here, I'm looking at the list. Like, we talked about Andersen, Mrazek, Allmark, Raanta, Halak, Bernier, Rittich, Reimer, Larry Brossoit
no.
out of Winnipeg.
You're not paying for Kemper because they got to stop trading picks and prospects.
Is Ranta's on that list, isn't he?
He's unrestricted. The only thing that scares me away from Antti Raanta is his medical history mm-hmm. because he's a guy who has not been, in my mind, healthy for years. Devin Dubnyk, Curtis McElhinney, and Brian Elliott. Like, it's not a list that is super glowing. I would have said if you're going to, you know, trade currency, you know, maybe one of the Columbus goalies. But given what happened with that horrific accident,
right.
like I
yep.
think Elvis, who I really like as a goaltender, he might struggle this year just missing his friend and having yeah. like that's a massive, you know,
that's
mental
a heavy weight
blow.
On
yeah,
his shoulders.
It's
for
a
sure.
big weight, exactly.
Like, well, even this Nedeljkovic kid that just got flipped from Carolina to yeah. Detroit.
Nedeljkovic.
Nedeljkovic. His name is yeah. The kid, it doesn't matter. The kid from Carolina.
I got a lot of things to worry about, but Brian Hayes taking my job as a play-by-play guy, not one of them.
Not even close, Gord. No.
But,
I've been chewing up names all afternoon, and it's just going to continue.
That one actually perplexed me. I like him as a goalie, and Carolina has zero goalies right now.
Right.
Like they have the rights to Reimer and Bernier for two more days. And that's it. Like, I don't know what's going on there. They might have their eye on a guy like Freddie Andersen or somebody else like that. But Nedeljkovic at $3 million, I liked him. He's 26, I think.
Yep.
He's got a chance to be a really good goalie in this league.
He's the reason they made the playoffs primarily last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
he started game one, too. They gave him game one. Eventually, they went away from him. I think they
yeah.
gave it to Mrazek as the series went on.
Well, you remember the goal. Like, he had that one goal that was it was Barkley, I think, that scored from the corner where he kind of lost his mm-hmm. angle and kind of got turned around a little bit. But, like, I think there are some goaltenders, and there's going to be some musical chairs going on here just based on cap, you know, situations that, you know, to judge on free agency to what opening rosters are going to look like, I still think there's going to be so much movement.
Yeah, well, I agree. And our boy Jimmy Benning out in Vancouver is moving and shaking, where he trades essentially three contracts he wanted out of, all
yes.
three that he happened to sign in Beagle, Roussel, and
yeah.
and Erickson, and basically gives up a first-round pick for Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland.
And
Ekman,
And Arizona retains money on Ekman
Larson.
And
they retain some money on Ekman Larson, who's still got years left on his deal. But what do you make of that one, Noodles?
I love the move. I really do. For Vancouver. And Arizona is going scorched earth. It sounds like they are just going to burn it to the ground this year and maybe next year to try and get high picks. And that's Bill Armstrong's manta there, mantra. But, like, I think Ekman Larson has been stale in Arizona. And how can't you be?
100%.
Like, it's, you know, I think... Again, slightly biased because I'm friends with people in Arizona who speak the world of him and say that he is, you know, his game has dropped off, but that team has dropped off and they've been up and down. I think he's a hell of a player, and they basically got him at $7 million, right? Yeah, I think they picked up 1-2. Arizona did. So he's a $7 million defenseman who can chew up a lot of minutes. So they've replaced Alex Edler, who was 35 or 36, with Ekman Larson. And, you know, he's a hell of a player. And then that Garland.
He can play. He can score.
Oh, he is. He's a pain in the ass, too. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute pain in the ass, but a good pain in the ass to play against. And I think they got better. Like, you ultimately, that right side, they were trying to find a home. They were trying to force feed, Vertanen and guys like that in there. Like, Garland can play in your top six, and he's hard to play against. So I think Vancouver's better today by light years with that one move.
100% agree. And Garland, they're going to love. Brian, you talk about a guy with his nose over the puck. That's Connor Garland. Like, his nose is over the puck all the time. And he's a stone in your shoe. You know, you'll get three guys chasing him around the ice at any given moment trying to take his head off, and they won't catch him. I think it was a good deal. I just wonder, though, Jamie, how many times can Buffalo and Arizona burn it down?
Well,
how many more times can you do this?
Yeah, you're right. And Hayes, you always speak of Buffalo. I mean, I'm still waiting for this Eichel, situation to shake out, because I think that will be a massive move. But Arizona, like, I don't blame Bill Armstrong. Like, clearly he has a vision that he's like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to burn this to the ground. This is on me. But that's what John Chayka did, and they're still cleaning up John Chayka's mess here.
It's nonstop.
Like,
it's
they lost the first round pick based on the training?
Illegally interviewing and training and testing players.
Yeah.
just trying to, we're working an angle here.
They thought no one would notice.
No, it's all good.
I swear to God, I talked to a junior coach where they were like, one of our players came off the ice, and Arizona's guys were, like, testing him in the room next door. Like, it was, like, kind of like a common knowledge thing. I'm like, well, wasn't really knowledge to the general public. It's like Arizona's doing testing on players after the game. It's
unbelievable.
Crazy.
I feel sick for Buffalo. You know, Arizona, a few years ago, they actually had, I think the cap was, like, $61 million. Arizona had $28 million in actual players in the roster. That's when they had Datsyuk and Pronger and all those dead contracts.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I get what they're doing. Like, they made the Ristolainen deal, do all that. But, like, I don't know about you guys. I love that fan base.
They're passionate, right?
They love the Sabres. They love the Bills. They just, it's a town that's had lots of knocks, but they just, I just wish that Buffalo could somehow get this thing back on the beam. I just don't know how you do it. I mean,
starting from scratch now.
They're
going to
start with two
overall pick.
Two cornerstone defensemen, so Dahlin and Power. Mm-hmm. You go from there. But if Jack Eichel doesn't come back, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
What has become clear is Tim Murray was the wrong man for the job to take over the last scorched earth. And we won't know if Kevin Adams is the right man for the job for another 5 or 6 years. And if he's not, then the next guy will come in and trade Dahlin and Power and reload. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
And Brian, to your point, and Jamie, you've seen this. I mean, this idea that fans have in some markets, well, just burn it down and we'll start over again. Ask people in Buffalo and Edmonton how that's going.
No, right. And Buffalo in particular.
Buffalo especially.
Yep. It's as bad as it gets. Well, it's as bad as it gets.
You're bang on. It's just tough because, watching Reinhardt get interviewed yesterday talking about Florida.
So happy. He's so happy.
He looked like he was going to crawl through his computer screen right into off the beach. Like, yeah. I was like, this guy is – but he put the time in. Like, he was a pro. I think he's a really good player, and I actually think Florida's had a –
Florida's going to be good, man.
They're going to be a good team. Like, yep. They've got a real – you know, they got some depth there that they're starting to push up. And if they can actually get – somebody said this to me the other day, and it's so true. If you could get Bobrovsky to play like a $6 million goal, not a 10, just a $6 million goaltender, a guy who's like good and gives you a chance and makes saves, like that team will be dangerous,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what they're banking on.
He might be the backup.
Well, you're right.
The way Spencer Knight was down the stretch.
Yeah, you're right. But they're just saying, like, we don't need you to be a Carey Price $10 million goaltender in the playoffs. We need you to be a guy who can give us a chance. And they believe in him. It's just he's got to do it. He's a hardworking guy, but he's got to get his game back in order. And that's
where
Florida.
He's had some up and down seasons throughout his career, right?
Yeah. Like,
and he's got a couple of Vesnas. I wouldn't be shocked if he reloaded and was a rock star.
It's odd-numbered years. I think it's odd-numbered years for
him. It's weird.
It is. So I guess technically this year he's supposed to be on. And
there
if you can get a healthy Ekblad there, they might be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah. I think you're right about that. All right, Noodles, we'll leave it there. We'll see you in studio on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. All right.
Comb your hair.
Yes, get after it. Get on the screen on Wednesday.
I'm going to have to press my suit if I can fit into it. So.
Not the one with the drawstring. He's got a suit where the pants have a drawstring.
Oh, I've seen it. It's a spectacular
fashion statement. I'm wearing them on
Wednesday
for you, Gord. Wearing them.
All right, buddy. We'll see you Wednesday.
All right, later.
There he is. Jamie Noodles McLennan joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today, mapletoyota.com. Yeah, his suit game, I'm a little envious, though, Gord. It is a very comfortable-looking suit.
Yeah, it is. It's not really a suit.
Right.
It's almost like he's harkening back to Sansevieria slacks. Remember those?
I'm not that familiar with those.
So NFL coaches, college football coaches wore these pants that had like an elastic, like a high waistband, like from the 70s. They were not flattering for some of those coaches who would let themselves go a bit. They were not flattering. They looked like they were on an egg.
Okay.
But they were Sansevieria, like no belt slacks. So,
well, he makes them look good.
He does. He's a conservative eater, and he's a conservative dresser. He likes dark suits.
Yep.
He's not going to go. Like, he's not going beige. he's not going.
It's not loud. He's very quiet. Quiet palate, quiet styles.
Yeah. Like, Jamie's never going to be.
Not going to be loud. Yeah.
I've never called him Noodles.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm not a nickname.
You're an anti-nickname.
No, I'm not anti-nickname. I have so many names to keep track of.
I envy you for that skill because, as you've noticed multiple times today, it's not a high priority for me, and I'm a broadcaster.
Who was the goalie that Detroit just got?
Nedeljkovic, I believe, is his handle.
Who actually won Wimbledon in 1976?
I need a nickname for him. That's what I need.
Needles.
I can start calling him Noodles.
I think he's Needles.
He should be Needles. From now on in this show, he is Needles. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
What's your nickname?
The Captain.
No.
Yes, it is. That's my nickname.
No.
The Captain.
What was your nickname 5 years ago?
It's either Hazy or Hazer.
Yeah. Because it's
one of those two.
I just want to take an aside here. I'm concerned about something. I just read in the news that a young man and his grandfather were fishing in Lake Erie, and the young man pulled an undetonated mortar shell up.
So yeah, that's concerning.
I'm concerned that there may – how many more undetonated – now, it's old. It's like from the 50s. But how many more undetonated mortar shells are there in the Great Lakes? And is this something we should be concerned about?
Yeah, and how would they have got there? I mean, was it our military doing some sort of testing?
Did we miss the war of, like, you know
– That's what I'm wondering.
The battle of wherever this is?
Because
of Bright's Grove, Ontario?
Right. I mean, during the Second World War, you'd get some U-boats that would go up and down the St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they ever got to Lake Erie. And why would they be dropping...
And this thing was from 1954. Like, what was going
on... Yeah, exactly. Post-World War II.
What was going on in 1954 that people were lobbing mortars into the lake?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just, you know, if you're making your vacation plans, Brian, for Lake Erie, you might want to...
That seems like a Google review that you probably want to avoid. Yeah, right, if you're reading about that.
We had a great time. The restaurants are good. There's a lot of undetonated munitions in the lake.
Outside of that, some landmines and, you know, stuff that literally could have blown us into space. But the scenery was beautiful. Great weather. Yeah. We'll be back. 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Except for that fact where our boat got blown to pieces.
I got to take a half star off for that. But, you know, I feel bad about it. I don't want to do it, but I feel like it's appropriate. I've heard, I know of people that have been to different parts of the world where that is a concern. Like if you're walking, you know, where there had been wars for quite some time, especially more modern wars, where there can be undetonated landmines.
Well, they just found an undetonated bomb in Germany last year. I mean,
really?
And apparently farmers' fields in France, they're still pulling up stuff from World War One once.
That's
in a while.
Right.
You know, because there's erosion and
yep.
Stuff
you go
like
to
that.
Vietnam, Cambodia. You know, like that's where I've had friends that are like, yeah, you kind of be careful, but might be something you want to look out for, and specifically in different regions where that can happen. Absolutely. I was not expecting that to be on the shores of Lake Erie.
I'm getting a call here, and it's okay. Sorry. Brights Grove is not on Lake Erie. Just got a text from a guy who would know. So
All right.
I had to think of a place sort of, you know, I thought of Mike Weir's hometown. So.
Okay. Yeah. Lake Erie's not, where would that rank for you in terms of your favorite, like the Great Lakes, 1 through 5? Are you a Lake Ontario guy? I guess, right? Like, I'm biased. Lake Ontario would be number one for me. Lake Michigan I love because I love Chicago.
I would say Lake Huron because of Georgian Bay.
My
favorite place to go in Ontario is a place called Point of Barrel, which is about 45 minutes north of Parry Sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It's heaven on
earth.
Love it there. So I would say Lake Huron 1. I would say Michigan 2.
Ontario's got to be higher on the list.
Yeah, Lake Ontario's 2.
Come on, Gord.
Yeah. Michigan, yeah. Michigan 3. Now, Lake Superior,
if
you ever get a chance to drive it, like north of the Terry Fox Trail is spectacular.
Okay.
I've done that in the fall. I drove across Canada like 6 times for various reasons.
And
north of Superior takes longer to go from here, but it's beautiful. So, yeah, I'm.
Superior, yeah, I think what we're saying is Erie's number 5 anyway. We don't love Lake Erie, right? Is that what we're saying?
Well, I think there are some parts of Lake Erie that are probably underrated. It's been really cleaned up.
Well, they've all been cleaned. Like Lake Ontario, you know this too, Gord.
Yeah.
Like I had this conversation with someone a year or two ago. I can't remember who was on the show. Someone who did not grow up in Toronto. I think it was Hedge. Who said? Because now Hedge lives downtown, and she'll go down there into the water with her kid,
yeah.
with her husband. But Hedge grew up down
in
London,
and you would not have done that
ever. Like growing up, I remember my parents. It was absolutely a no go. You do not step foot in that lake, and that was in the '80s. Now that was probably being a little bit overbearing.
But now you can eat fish out of it, right? They've really cleaned it up. There's salmon in Lake Ontario, right? There's salmon in it, right?
Maybe we need to consider that. Like I know there's a lot of things we're working on, but some things are moving in the right direction.
We had an air advisory today because of the fire.
The smoke.
But you know what? The air quality in Toronto apparently is like miles better than it was 20 years ago.
There you go.
Like there are lots of good things happening, Brian.
There you go.
Aaron Rodgers is going to
be back. Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
I think Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay is going to be the trigger of an avalanche of great news.
For me specifically?
I think just generally.
Okay.
I think we've had a lot of grim stuff lately. I think this is going to – August is going to be unbelievable.
Well, I hope you're right, and I guess they're still kind of crossing the T's and dotting the I's on this. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what concessions have been made on Green Bay's side of things because it appears as
what,
if
– What would you like?
Yeah, but, you know, in the end, if he's playing this year and he's fully committed – and they still have control over the situation next year, how is this anything but a win for the Packers? Who, listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. What he did this past year, I was very surprised by. I did not see it coming. If anything, I was on the pessimistic side of his career.
Not you.
Yes, you shockingly pessimistic?
No.
Shockingly, I was leaning pessimistic. I was about 49%, you know, 51-49, Gordon. It was right there. You could flip a coin one way or the other. Leaning pessimism. But, you know, their plan was draft Jordan Love, play this out, and move on from Rodgers. If you get him back for this year, maybe you have him next year, you probably were thinking we're moving on from you 2 or 3 years down the road anyway.
So do you think maybe they what you might do is say, okay, play this year. You're under contract for next year. At the end of the year, if you're not happy, give us a list of five teams.
I would think that has to be a part of the reporting at some point that has come out.
Don't you think he wants to play for the 49ers at some point?
Well, that's not going to happen, though. They just took Trey Lance.
I know. Like but
yes, I think so. I think Brady probably always wanted to do that. Like, they're both, you know, Northern California guys. But I don't think the Niners are in the cards. They traded up to take Lance at three. He's the quarterback of the future. I think he'll be starting by the end of the year. So I don't see the Niners as an option. I think Denver's a team. I think Vegas is a team. I think Vegas for sure.
Vegas would be, you know, and that's Northern California. Mm-hmm. They were there, though.
They were, absolutely.
Yeah, the Vegas, the whole Vegas thing is going to be really interesting to watch on and off the field there. I'm intrigued how that's going to go for them, because the hockey team there has a tremendous bank of goodwill for a lot of reasons. The first pro team there, you know, the first major pro team there, all the stuff that happened, you know, when they started with that horrendous shooting and how they handle it afterwards, the outreach they have in the community. And the Raiders kind of come in and, you know, they're... You know, they left in a stadium dispute with their former place. They've bounced around a lot. They you know, they've put a lot of pressure on the community. Their prices are high. Like, I'll be intrigued to see how that goes. I think it'll be a hit, but
I think it'll be more of a hit in terms of teams traveling to Vegas that will keep it afloat. They got to sell 8 or 9 home games a year.
Right. So
that's very doable.
Right. So the Pittsburgh Steelers. Roughly 30,000 people that go to a Steelers game live more than 2 hours outside of Pittsburgh.
Right. They travel, is what you're saying.
So a lot of their fans travel, and a lot of visiting teams' fans travel to Pittsburgh. And so
right.
I think Vegas, I mean, when the 49ers play in Vegas and when the Rams play in Vegas when Denver
Steelers
plays in Vegas.
Steelers and Packers, it'll be packed.
Like so they'll get a lot of that. But that's transactional.
Yes. Terms of how they're beloved, the thing that I think will go their way, based on the locals that I have spoken to when I was down there, or people I've spoken to over the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. Like, when we think of Vegas, we think the Strip.
Yeah.
People that live in Vegas, they don't go to the Strip.
And the Strip is like 10% of Vegas.
Exactly. It is a really blossoming city, and it has been for quite some time. There's a lot more people down there than you think that live there, born and raised.
It's basically Scottsdale.
Yes. So I think the locals will support it, and the locals have wanted to be on the map for quite some time, and now they've got it. But I think they're going to get a lot of people from out of town, clearly, as well.
The Battle of Leamington. We'll go with that. Leamington.
Yes. There you go. I like it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Wednesday, Free Agent Frenzy, as we know, in TSN 1050. Free Agent Frenzy coverage is presented in part by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Gord, you'll be in one studio. I'll be in the other studio. Duthie will be in there.
Yeah, you'll be with Duthie, right? I gotta corral the squirrels. I got LeBron, McKenzie, Drager. Mm-hmm. We're together every year. Every year I say it's my last time, and every year they draw me back in. How much would you pay Dougie Hamilton?
Well, I have to think if Seth Jones, you know, got over 9, he's probably looking at 8.5. Yeah. Like, I am a big Seth Jones fan. He had a down year last year.
Yeah.
I don't know who he's pairing with, because Zach Werenski was one hell of a pairing, and that will not be available with him or to him in Chicago. But, man, the Blackhawks, they paid a fortune for him in terms of draft capital, prospect, a high-name prospect, a big-name prospect, and then they give him the contract on top.
Here's the difference, Brian, is that I don't think there's much dispute about Jones's talent and his ceiling. Hamilton's a really divisive player. Like, you won't hear a lot of rave reviews from coaches who have had him, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's productive. Like, his analytics, he's got more goals than any defenseman in the last 4 years in the NHL.
Like, that's a big stat. Like, an impressive,
stat. He's got more goals than any defenseman. He's a right-hand shot. He's
right.
Big. He's mobile. And yet, he's on his third, maybe soon to be fourth team.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear the kind of raves that you hear about other defensemen in that category.
No, you're right about that, Gord. And there will most certainly be a market for him. I have to think he's going to get a long-term deal.
It only takes one, right? It only takes one.
Takes one to give him between 5 and 7 years and $8 million plus. And he'll be a happy man, I think.
You know, New Jersey goes out, someone with lots of cap space goes out and does it.
Yep.
It's just really interesting, the situation that he presents.
Well, we'll find out more, I'm sure, on Wednesday. Hour three coming up. Gord Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.